Anchor. Bernie Goldbach here. I made a few promises to Georgia D. I told her, I said, look, you know, if you get me some music from 1940, 43, 45 time frame, I'll share with you a story, a little bit of a flying story. So I'm standing on a Corsair flight line. Corsairs were used in the Solomon Islands to preserve the Australians, basically, to save them from the ravages of the rising Japanese Empire. The F-4U, specifically, a 425-mile-per-hour aircraft, has six 50-caliber machine guns. I was on Solomon Islands because it was very difficult to handle, very difficult to land. The Navy relied on a Grumman Hellcat instead, so the Marine Corps was there. And here's what this plane sounds like. The Marines were flying this puppy. And it was a famous bent-wing bird that I had to memorize the capabilities of when I was in the Air Force Academy. Pappy Boeington flew them, Black Sheep Squadron. Speed, firepower, maneuverability, ruggedness, all made it happen. Loud airplane as well. Tommy Blackburn used to be the CEO of the Jolly Rogers. Boeington ran the Black Sheep Squadron. Blackburn wrote about the superb flying machine that the Corsair was. Over-engineered, a little hard to maintain. The typical start of the day, you'd have planes just like this one that just couldn't start. But they had shotguns shell, they'd fire in. 2,800 cubic inches on that engine, a monster to fire. Most of the time, crew chiefs would pull the prop plane through to get a minimum number of revolutions that would put oil into the lower cylinders. You could start it up and safe. Then you had to prime the thing with raw gasoline, and you didn't want to flood it because if you put too much fuel in the cylinders, you'd have a fire when the engine coughed to life. And madness, but fun and powerful. What a plane. Each of the 14 cowl flaps has a baby hydraulic cylinder to open and close it. They leak. Maintenance crews are expert at big radio engines and all kinds of leaks in the color of the oil or the color of the fluid. The plane threw a lot of oil out, and like the carriers and the Marine Corps pilots are expert at getting up into a rain cloud to get rid of the oil on the front of their windscreen so they could see the zeros coming at them. Landing flaps had a protective device. So they wouldn't go back into the wing when the airspeed went up too high enough so that the plane's wing would overstretch. Except sometimes the wing flaps would come up uncommanded on final approach, and that would cause a real problem. Planes would crash. Full power to get out of the subsequent sinking sensation you'd have. The battery was inside the cockpit. Had an unhealthy habit of boiling over. In some cases, there's news records of the flying safety courses that I used to attend where batteries would explode in the pilot's compartment when the plane was flying. That would happen when you overcharge anything. Anyway, there you have it. The Corsair, the proud radio engine, 2,800 cubic inches, throbbing at you. They're on the ground. Hope you enjoyed this short little clip about what it would have been like to be in the Solomon Islands protecting the northern part of Australia during the 40s. And now, if you've done it right for me, Georgie, you'll have a 1943-44 audio clip that I can put right after this one. I'm going to make a flying channel so we can share this stuff more often. Thanks for listening. Bye for now. And in 1944 and 1945, when the Bob Hope troop visited the Solomon Islands, the same place where the Corsairs were flying, the Andrews sisters were performing at the show. Rum and Coca-Cola.
Ever go down Trinidad, they make you feel so very glad. Calypso sing and make up rhyme, guarantee you one real good fine time. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter working for the Yankee dollar.
Oh, beat it, man, beat it.
Since the Yankee come to Trinidad, they got the young girls all going mad. Young girls say they treat them nice, make Trinidad like paradise. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter working for the Yankee dollar.
Oh, you vex me, you vex me.
From
Chick-a-Chick Carry to Mona's Isle. Native girls all dance and smile. Help soldier celebrate his leave. Make every day like New Year's Eve. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter. Working for the Yankee Dollar. In old Trinidad, I also fear the situation is mighty queer. Like the Yankee girl, the native swoon, when she hear der bingo croon. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar. Out on Manzanella Beach, G.I. romance with Native Peach. All night long make tropic love, next day sit in hot sun and cool off. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar.
The fact, man.
Rum and Coca-Cola. Rum and Coca-Cola. Working for the Yankee Dollar.
Mr. Bernie at Top Gold. You asked for a set from the 1940s. You asked D-Lo. D-Lo responded, more specifically Georgie D. I had a little bit of help from Scott Lowe as well, I must admit. I've just spent a few hours laying down the set of all sets, Bernie, just for you. To be honest, I had a great time. I really enjoyed it. So why don't you come on over to D-Lo and have a listen before it drops off the 24-hour table. Because you can claim your flyboy rights to this set, Bernie.
Tell me you'll miss me
while I'm alone and blue as can be.
Dream a little dream of me. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-da.
Georgie, you're a sweetheart. I did what you said. You said you did what I asked, and I just really appreciate that. In the background, you might know the process is happening. I have saved your decades-old call-ins, so I can just keep listening to them because, well, if I publish them, they just go away, don't they? Yeah, the 1940s affected my family in a really amazing way. My dad was in uniform in Germany, and uncles were in Korea in the 50s. So I often wonder what I would have been like if I'd if I was older, maybe if I was my dad's age and maybe 4 years older, where I would have been. Could easily have been there in the Solomon Islands, because I think if I'd followed my my flying genes, if I'd been as interested in flying as I was when I was, if in the 1940s I was a 20-year-old and was flying, I could have easily been in the Pacific. Listening to the Andrews Sisters, I grabbed their track from you. So anyway, another background process that you kicked off was a kick in the ass for me to say, look, let's make this flying thing happen. You might know I've got five different channels, five different accounts on Anchor. I can't populate them as well as you and Scott Lowe and you and Lulu. I just can't do that. But there is an imperative to babble about one's life if one's life is worth living. And there are stories that are really unbelievable that none of my kids and grandkids and great-grandchildren will ever know about unless I say them. And the funny thing is, I was there and I did them. many of them, well, not some of them, were compartmentalized, and they don't have, they don't exist. They're disavowed. They never occurred. And they're really interesting flying stories of stuff that never happened. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll in part of them. And if I use hyperbolic language, I can make those three core elements part of every one of my little stories. And hey, there's a 50 days of flying book in that. Thanks, Georgie. You're an inspiration, but you know that already.